Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. September 13th, 2006. That's when it all happened. That's when things went south. That's when the bottom fell out and when everything became completely undone. September 13th, 2006. On March 13th, 1930, things had begun with so much excitement. There was fanfare, there were fireworks, and there was a great flourish of excitement. It was global, it really was. But that was on March 13th, 1930, when it was discovered. On September 13th, 2006, it really all came crashing down. On that day, the International Astronomical Union met in Prague in the Czech Republic, and they voted to downgrade the planet Pluto. To what? A dwarf planet. Really, the audacity of all, Pluto was no longer Pluto. The Union now officially calls Pluto asteroid 134340. That's a mouthful. Pluto's much easier. But Pluto got bumped. Pluto got cut from the team, voted off the island. It was rejected, demoted, devalued, demeaned, dismissed. One day Pluto's in, the next day it's out. And this was such a stunning turn of events that in 2006 the word of the year was what? Plutoed. Pluto, the proper noun, became Pluto, the verb. Plutoed. Plutoed? We all know what that feels like. Maybe we were the wrong size or the wrong height or the wrong shape, the wrong color or wrong age. Maybe we had the wrong friends or went to the wrong school. Maybe we had the wrong parents or grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. People get plutoed by bosses and businesses and boyfriends and all kinds of busybodies. We're in a series on John 1:1-18. Let's get our bearings and review. Explanation, John 1:1-5. God created through Christ. Revelation 6-13. God sent John to reveal Christ. And Incarnation 14-18. God is with us in Christ. Incarnation is really shorthand for John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know what? He did it for plutoed people. John describes these people all throughout his gospel. He came for the Samaritan woman who was divorced 5 times. He took on flesh for the paralytic who had been crippled for 38 long, hard years. He did it for Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus had died. He did it for the man born blind, for discouraged disciples and sheep without a shepherd, rejected. All of them, the whole lot. But John announces the incarnation. God is with us in Christ Jesus. And he did it for plutoed people. Let's dig deeper into the verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. By now, hopefully, we all know John 1:1, or at least are familiar with it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our God is not silent. Our God speaks. Throughout the Old Testament, God's Word creates, it directs, it controls, and it shapes events. In fact, the expression, the Word of the Lord, occurs 261 times in the Old Testament. 261 times, I'm just saying. But really, hold on, because the Word is more than an element of speech or an expression or a sound or an idea. The Word became flesh. The creative, powerful, true, and enduring Word of the Lord became flesh. In John's day, sophisticated Greeks and Romans recoiled from the word flesh. Flesh to them was doomed to be destroyed. They thought that what matters most is the spirit. They thought flesh is worth nothing. They thought that no God in his right mind would ever deal with something as degrading and disgusting as flesh. But yeah, that's exactly what our God did. Jesus is not only one substance with the Father, he's true God, but he's also one substance with you. Jesus is also true man, the Word. God the Son and the Son of God. He became flesh. God became hungry and thirsty and tired. God felt disappointment and sorrow and hurt, loneliness and rejection. He knows your name and he knows our pain. But don't be confused. The Word didn't change into flesh. The Word didn't morph into flesh. The Word didn't transition into flesh. That's not what John says. If the Word had changed or morphed or transitioned into flesh, he would no longer be God. But remaining what he was, he became what we are. Remaining what he was, God, Christ became what we are. Flesh. His golden throne room was left in favor of a dirty sheep pen, worshiping angels crying out from eternity past, "Holy, holy, holy," were replaced by bewildered shepherds. Lying there in a manger, Jesus looks like anything but God. His face is wrinkled and red. His cry, although strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of an infant. God enters the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, in the presence of a carpenter. God has eyebrows and eyes and thumbs and toes and kidneys and a spleen. There's no silk, no ivory, no hype, no hoopla. Not for this babe in Bethlehem. The Word became flesh. And John drives this point home when he writes about Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate. Pilate has our Lord's flesh ripped and torn. He's dressed in purple and crowned with thorns. Then he brings Jesus out to the crowd and says the famous line, "Behold the man, behold the man. Here is the man, flesh, flesh and blood and a beaten body." That's God we're talking about, the God who gets Plutoed, demoted, and devalued, and dismissed, and demeaned, and left for dead. The Word became flesh and dwelt. The word dwelt literally means to pitch a tent. It's really an Old Testament idea. Moses built the tabernacle, a tent, so God could dwell with Israel. Solomon followed Moses. He built a temple so that God could dwell with Israel. God dwelt with his people. He pitched a tent. He came down and he moved in. By living in Moses' tabernacle in Solomon's temple, God moved into Israel's neighborhood and world. And now God moves into our neighborhood, the human one. But what kind is that? It's a place where we hurt each other with our words and cold shoulders and callous hearts. It's a place where we ignore each other's needs repeatedly because we might be so busy or have important things to do. It's a neighborhood where we carelessly Pluto people with accusations and condemnations, making ourselves judge and jury. Our neighborhood, our world is filled with mixed up and messed up people. How do I know? Because I can be just as mixed up and messed up as anybody. But yet God still decided to come down into this world and into this place. In her song titled "From a Distance," Betty Milder writes, "God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance." Sometimes that's how we might feel. We feel as though God is disconnected, that God's above the fray and above it all, that he's watching from a distance. But that's not true at all. We dare to confess who for us men and for our salvation, he came down. Jesus came to our messed up world to teach and to heal and to love. He came down to forgive and bleed and suffer and die. Jesus came to get Plutoed. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You, and me, not just the high and mighty, not just king and queens, not just the polished or the preppy, the preferred and powerful. The Word dwelt among us, him and her and them and you and me, us. Too often, though, when we get Plutoed and our world breaks into a million pieces, this promise falls on deaf ears and hard hearts. We might shrug our shoulders and say, so what? Who cares? I have no hope. Listen closely. Only Jesus delivers life to people who've been Plutoed. And he delivers life to us through his means of grace, baptism, his supper, and the gospel. Some may demote you. Others might dismiss you. The devil wants to destroy you, but God claims you. God restores you. God loves you. God forgives you. How do I know? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who came and dwelt among us. Amen.